I want to talk a little bit this morning about what the Bible says. I want to give you some encouragement. I want to walk you through some of the reasons that I read that people don't like to be talked to about Jesus. It's not like Jesus isn't a good thing to talk about. It's not like love and grace aren't things that everybody needs. In fact, I believe with all my heart that deep inside everyone is a longing for something that they don't know or understand. The Bible's very clear that the earth is not our home, that we were created for a purpose, that we were built, that we were made for more than this. So I believe there is a longing inside every heart for something more. And I happen to believe that that more is the God that created the universe in Genesis. I believe that to human beings, He sent His Son who was there in the beginning because we needed an ultimate sacrifice, and He lived the perfect life so that He could be sin-free. He died the ultimate sacrifice so that our sins would be taken away. And if we believe that, we can spend eternity where we're supposed to spend eternity with and alongside Him. I believe all of those things. All right? I just believe we've turned away from those things. One of the reasons people don't like people talking to them about being Christians is we became the Pharisees again. Do you understand what I mean by that? When the Pharisees came, when Jesus came, the Pharisees didn't embrace Him. They rejected Him. The reason they rejected Him is they were more concerned about the rules than the ruler. Let me say that again. They were more concerned about the rules than the ruler. Here's what happens. Following God is difficult. It's hard. It takes work. And there's an easy way to get by that. Don't do this, 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 and I understand. Don't do this, 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 and I understand. The problem is we fall for the don't do this, 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 and this. And we have the Ten Commandments, and if you don't do them, everything's going to be all right. But what we've done is we've transferred the power. If you follow the rules, then you are. No, and it never was that way. The problem is, if you flip to the other side, if I fall in love with Jesus, everything's going to be all right. No, if you fall in love with Jesus, it takes work to follow the outline He placed on your heart. You can't do one without the other. We've tried both sides over the generations, and we're not the first. It's gone back and forth and back and forth from Phariseeism to legalism to a license over and over again for years. You're not the only ones. You know what else we try to do? We're smart. We're really, really, really smart people. So we tried to make evangelism in a box. We tried to make evangelism on paper. We tried to print evangelism on t-shirts. And we wanted to make it a microwave culture where you could tell people about Jesus, all right? The problem is we started tracking and stopped loving. We started handouts and stopped leaving our arms wide open. I will give you the best example that I know, and I'm going to get a big hard amen from the front pew. We started thinking it was so good to love people that we would go to a restaurant. You know what's coming? We would go to a restaurant. We would order $100 worth of food. We would be waited on by a beautiful and wonderful and fantastic server who went all out for us for over an hour. And on that tray, let me leave you the biggest tip of your life. Jesus loves you. And they would unfold a paper cross. Are they working for a paper cross? Hey, if you've ever done that, I love you. Don't ever do that again. You hear me? Amen. I love you. Don't ever do that again. Until you're willing to have that server in your home, cook that server a meal, pay that server's bills, you got two choices. Don't go out to eat. Or tip when you do. We've messed this thing up. What Phariseeism and legalism looks like when it goes to extremes? Westboro. That's what it looks like when it's taken all the way to extremes. We will fight so hard for who you cannot be and what you cannot do and rail against that we don't rail against the sin anymore. We rail against the sinner. That is legalism all the way to the extreme. All right? Here's the thing, though. Some of us blame that and give up. You know what I'm talking about? Well, nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Nobody wants to hear about it because people have messed it up so much that I can't get through. That's a cop-out, and I'm calling you on it right now. It's a cop-out, and I'm calling you on it right now. Here's why. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on His behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's what God's saying. I made you and created you to be an example for me in the world that you live in, and to do anything less is a mockery of who I am. So I'm asking you, if you really know me, to be my ambassador, and if you don't, to know me. Whoa, Craig, are you going so far as to say that people who won't share the gospel aren't believers? I don't know if the fruit fits. Man, y'all got quiet. Doesn't that what do you read it as? We're asking you to do this, colon, or be reconciled to God. I mean, come on. But here's the thing. Do you understand what an ambassador is? It's not a messenger. You need to understand the difference between messenger and ambassador. An ambassador is a representative of, speaks for, very scary, speaks for. We watch a lot of Madam Secretary, and we're going through West Wing again right now, and ambassadors are called in all the time. And the president speaking to the ambassador of a country is like the president speaking to the president of that country. You represent your country and your leader. Do you understand that when you open your mouth and lay that track down, wear that t-shirt, say anything, that you represent God, period? Which leads me to the next reason people don't listen. Hypocrisy. People don't listen because of hypocrisy. We make two mistakes as believers. We talk Jesus and we don't live it. Hey, and guess what? Some of you make another mistake. You live Jesus and don't talk it. You can do both. Well, Craig, don't actions speak louder than words? Actions absolutely speak louder than words. But if you never use the words, how will people know? If you never use the words, how will people know? We are called to teach. We are called to share. Here's another reason some of us don't share. We must have had a sorry. That's all right. I know it. Oh, here we go. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Listen. Who correctly handles the word of truth. I meant to throw in, and this is what I was looking for, it was my fault. Be prepared to give an answer for the faith that you have. Most of us are more than willing to say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Hey, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And then the questions come, and you go, ha, ha, ba, ha, ba, ba, ba. Ha, ba, 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 ba. Or you say something that has absolutely nothing to do with the question they ask, but it's very Jesus-oriented, all right? There's a cute little story about a preacher who's doing a children's sermon, all right, up in the front of the church, and he says, can you name an animal that has big floppy ears? And the kids look at him, and, well, you know, I'm looking for an animal that has a furry tail, and the kids just look at him, and well, he hops around in the forest, and the kids just look at him. One little girl raises her hand, she goes, preacher, I know you want us to say Jesus, but that sounds like a rabbit. We so want to give holy answers that we will run all over and actually look foolish trying to represent God with things that don't answer the question at all. And the Bible says, what I want you to do is be prepared. Well, Craig, if I'm not prepared, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Well, that's not an option, folks. That's not an option. We are asked to share. We're asked to be ambassadors. We are asked not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. It is God. Some of you would say, well, I'm scared. I don't think it'll work. Do you trust God? It's not about you. When you evangelize, you are doing the work of Christ. The ambassador doesn't say what the president tells him to say, assuming that the president's not going to come through. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't preach the gospel out without assuming that God is going to do what he says he is going to do. You have to trust in what he promises, that he who began a good work will be faithful to carry it on to completion. You have to trust that what God says will be true. You have to believe also that if he, listen, be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. And this is another key to real evangelism that we'll come back to. You must preach Jesus, not Christianity, not Nicholasville Baptist, not Matt Chandler, Craig Tackett, and those two don't belong in the same breath, by the way, Andy Stanley, Chris Tomlin, David Crowder, casting crowns. You don't preach the servant. You preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. You preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we know, so that the word goes out, it will not return empty. If we preach the word, it will not return empty, but will accomplish what is desired and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. These verses add up to one thing. One thing for the mature believer. To not witness means to not trust. I'm going to say that again. These verses add up to one very fine fact. To not witness means to not trust. Because God promises if he's lifted up, he will draw all men. Because he says, you are my ambassadors. He is placing the pledge on you. He says that if you teach his word, it will not return void. So if you're not getting results, I can only assume that one of two things is happening. You are not preaching Christ, or you are not preaching at all. I can only assume that one of two things is happening. You are not preaching Christ, or you are not preaching at all. Because, and here's that verse, when he's lifted up, he draws all people to himself. I was reading an article just that said that the two reasons that people don't listen. Basically, it was a really long story that boiled down to this. People don't listen because you're foolish, and people don't listen because you're a hypocrite. We don't believe, and we don't desire, and we don't fathom, and we don't see the power of God enough that we're willing to study to show ourselves approved. And so when we try to answer, we answer foolishly. And that snowballs over the years into things that aren't Jesus at all. And yes, church, it seems overwhelming. It seems just overpowering. It seems like we've dug such a hole, or people who aren't us, Christians in general, have dug such a hole in certain places that we have to work harder. That is an absolute truth. But I want to encourage you in something. You're not doing your work. You're doing his work. And if you believe what we were taught 4 weeks ago at the beginning of True Colors, that God is yesterday, today, and forever, that the situation that we're in, God's not up there going, Dad, I didn't know. Dad, I wasn't ready. Dad, can you believe what they're doing? Dad, this was not in the plan. That's not possible. He knew. You're involved in a grand and beautiful story that has already been written. It is not about how the end's going to come out. It's about what part you're choosing to play in it. And if you believe that, then you've already won. Now go and do. But they didn't come to Jesus. Then that wasn't his. That wasn't his. It's all about His. Well, Craig, does that mean that there's people God doesn't want to come to Him? That is not what I said. God will accomplish the things according to your purposes? No. According to His purposes. To bring what? Glory to you? No. In order to bring glory to... So, Craig, how do we go about it? Look, I spent a whole session and actually got a lot of response. I thought it was super simple, but I got a ton of response at the youth night that I taught the kids how to witness easily. And I ran down through the Roman road, four verses. If you don't know them and want to write them down, I'm going to give them to you now. This is going to be like 3 minutes of the sermon, though, all right? Because there's better, there's more. Listen to me. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. If you don't know it, write it down. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay? So, Romans 3:23, everybody sins. Romans 6:23, if you sin, you die, but God died in your place. All right? Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, what? You shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you want to jump to the Revelation, you can use Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in. God's asking, are you answering? There's the simplest Roman road way to go. All right? Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10:9-10, 10:13. All right? 3:23, 6:23, 10:9-10, 10:13. If you're writing it down, I want to make sure you got that. And then I used my fingers to show them. All right, I use my fingers to show them how they could, and I don't have time to go through all that. You can ask me in your spare time. And then I used a piece of paper to show them, and that's the one everybody loved. Told a story, had a piece of paper in my hand, finished the story, all of a sudden the paper's ripped up, but it says hell and a cross. It's not magic, it's just how you tear the paper, and I taught every kid how to do it. All right, and they loved it. They loved it. Listen, I am okay with using object lessons. I am not okay with t-shirts, object lessons, pieces of paper becoming the gospel. And that's what we've done. We have relied on, you know, I met the guy. There was a guy who made a fortune. And it was a great thing called Evangicube. And it was like a Rubik's Cube. And you could fold it and unfold it to different things. And it told the story. And it worked with a certain demographic. And it worked for a certain time. And it worked overseas, especially, it was a great tool. But when we all try to order that and use that, it becomes monotonous and just like anything else. Even the best TV shows run their course. But what happens when your evangelism tool runs its course? Most of us give up as if our God did. And that's wrong. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can't preach the Evangicube. We can't preach tracts. We can't preach t-shirts. We have to preach Jesus. So Craig, how do we do it? You have asked us to write a person's name down, but I'm just not comfortable going to that person and beginning a Jesus talk with them. Good! Nobody asked you to! Well, Craig, you said I had to get one person. Yeah, I said you had to put one person down and pray for them. Isn't that all I really ask you to do? I ask you to write their name down and pray for them with the goal of trying to get them here two times before the end of the year. That's the goal. We want them here twice to see what God can do. That's all we're asking. Well, Craig, how do I go about it? Well, number one is ask them, but don't do it to a stranger. That's the other problem people have. You'll just be standing in the Walmart line, have nothing to do with nobody, and go, hey, want to come to church? You don't have any idea what they've been through. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I could not believe when I first went to a home for battered kids, okay? I went to a place here in Kentucky with a team for battered kids. We had to go through a day's training to be able to go. I didn't know why. I worked with teenagers all summer. Why would they train me to go work with these kids who had been removed from their homes? One sentence told me, ticked me off. Guy looked at me and said, don't you dare call Jesus Father while you're there. Why in the world not? You got it, don't you? Because most of these kids' fathers had beat them to a pulp. And that's what they saw as a father. And that's not how they wanted them to see God. Do you understand now why walking up to any John Doe and saying something isn't best case scenario? We've been taught to do it. It's not helpful. I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm not telling you God can't use it. But I'm telling you 99 times out of 100 in the world we live in today, that is not the way. A guy sat across from another man. Two men, I was reading this story. Two men sat across from each other in a coffee shop. After about 10 minutes, the one who was wanting to witness to the guy had been listening for about 10 minutes, and the other said, "Hey, enough about you. Do you have any questions for me?" He said, "No, I want to learn as much about you as I can." And he said, "You listen for 55 minutes, you'll have 5 minutes worth of stuff to talk about." When you learn to listen for 55 minutes, then you'll have 5 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. Do you understand why I ask you to write a name down and not bring them next week? Do you understand why I do love high attendance Sundays? Because they make us all feel good and fun, but we don't have high attendance Sundays on purpose, because it's not about high attendance. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ changing a life. That's all it's about. And I'm in this for the long game. So that's why I said, write a name down and let's take till the end of the year. Because you know what I want you to do? I want you to babysit your one's children. I want you to care about your one's marriage. I want you to put food on your one's table if they don't have it. I want you to have that one over to your home. I have learned that the greatest thing that I can do as a pastor is keep on cooking. And some of you haven't been to my home to cook, and there's a reason that you haven't been to my home to eat. You haven't asked. I got about 6 or 7 friends that know now. They know, and you can ask them if I'm lying. "Hey, Craig, we're going to come over this week. Tell us when." Some of them can call the day of. "Hey, we're coming over tonight." I will tell you if I can't do it. And most of the time that is, "I will tell you if my wife won't let me do it." All right? And I am not afraid. There are people that I adore that I want to go see, but I'm not afraid when they send me a text in the middle of the afternoon to go, "I was at the church 14 hours yesterday. I got up at 6:30 to get to the church again today. I'm going to preach at the church again tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere." That's okay. It's okay for me to do that. It's not okay for me to do that for a year, but it is okay for me to do that. I just want you to love them. I just want you to serve them. I just want you to show them that His grace is sufficient for me. And I want you to wait for the opportunity to say to them, "Hey, do you want to go to trivia night with me? Hey, do you want to go see a bunch of people have an unbelievable time, listen to unbelievably fun 80s music, feel like dancing around in ways that we haven't danced before, feel super smart or super dumb all at the same time, and happen to raise $900 to send people to an orphanage?" Why would you do that? Because there are people in our church who want to just go love on orphans. Why would they do that? Because God loved on them. You just evangelized. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? You just evangelized. You just ambassadored. I don't ask you to give your time and your talent and your tithe to boost my numbers, boost my income, and boost my children's ministry. I ask you to give your time, talent, tithe because that's what Jesus asked. And He says, if you do what I say, all men will come. I'm ready to see all men. Why don't we all do what He says? When I told Si what I was talking about this morning, she said, all I would say was just tell them to serve them. Never say a word if you don't have to. Just tell them to serve them. I disagree. I think you ought to serve them and serve them well. Eventually, you're going to have to say something. I told you earlier, you can't have one without the other. Eventually, you got to say, "Hey, I want you to do this. You got to say, hey, I want you to, you know what? I get all kinds of criticism, not in a bad way, in a lovingly jabbing way, from the local Baptist preachers for a lot of reasons. But the biggest one is, why don't you give an invitation every Sunday? It's a great question. I think I do. It just doesn't sound like it ever has before. I don't think there's anybody who spends more than 6 weeks in this church that doesn't know that they can call my phone, they can come to my house, they can eat at my table, that if they ask, they will receive. There's nobody that doesn't know that. And if they don't, it's because they're not listening. And if they don't believe it, that's not my problem. And I had to learn to live with that. Well, Craig, how do you get people baptized? I don't know. I got three people getting baptized in the next 4 weeks. I didn't have to do that. Children did that. Mommies did that. Coffee and Covenant did that. Husbands did that. Wives did that. And guess what? Because of that one, children will do it too. Do you know what? If we just do what Jesus says, if we will repent and we will be baptized, guess what other people are going to do? Repent and be baptized. I do not have to stand up here. Ask somebody to walk to the very front, because this is some kind of holy arena where once they step into it, the fires go down, the air conditioning comes up, their hair blows in the air if they have any. God descends on them in that moment. They get a card from me that they slide in the door of heaven. The light turns green. The angels sing, and all can have Jesus. Where's that? You want to know the hardest part? Before I get done, here's the hardest part. And I've said it before, and I want to say it to you again because I want you to hear it. I'm asking you to go ye therefore and make disciples. And I'm asking you to do it by giving up. Two things I want to say before I'm done. Thing number one, I read this phrase this morning, and I went, I don't like it, until I read what he meant. And then I went, I was wrong, I love it. Ready? Love is inefficient. I did the same thing, Cindy. That doesn't sound like love to me. Listen, love is inefficient. People who know me know that one of my pet peeves is inefficiency. Wife says, I can't. One of my pet peeves is inefficiency. When the band was together, the Jonathan Project together, we had a phrase. What was it? Efficiency was lost. If we were somewhere and things weren't going well and I was just like this, one of the band members would go, well, efficiency was lost. And that was our thing. So I don't want love to be inefficient, but love is absolutely inefficient. Love doesn't work on our time frame. Serving people doesn't work on our checkbook being full enough or not full enough. Loving people doesn't work on us not having or having things to do. When we're sitting around the house with nothing to do, that doesn't mean that the person who needs our love is going to call us at that time. They may call in the middle of the night. They may call in the morning. They may call when we're broke. They may call when we don't feel like it. Love is inefficient, but loving is how people come to the kingdom. I love that. Getting your one here won't be efficient. I hope it is. But it won't be efficient. And here's what I will not do. I will not do any more than Jesus did at the end of the Great Commission. Craig, if I start to do this, will my marriage come back together? I don't know. I will tell you that Jesus is the only shot. But Jesus is not going to force your husband to do anything. Jesus is not going to force your wife to do anything. Craig, if I come to you, will my surgery be successful? I don't know. But I can tell you if Jesus wants it to, it can't not. Craig, if I do this, will my children obey me? Probably not. Probably not. But instilling, not rules, but Jesus in them will give you a better chance that they'll obey Him. Come on. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I want my children to obey me, but I'd rather them obey Jesus. Anybody? Amen. I will promise you nothing but this, church. If you will follow these commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And listen when he says, this is my commandment that you love one another. Listen, that your joy will be complete. Here's what I will promise you. If you go and make disciples, Jesus will be with you. He will be with you if your marriage fails. He will be with you if your child passes. He will be with you if the surgery goes wrong. He will be with you if the cancer comes back. He will be with you when it doesn't go your way. He will be there in the mountains and the valleys. When I got in the car this morning, the song Hills and Valleys were on. And I've heard it 100 times, but this morning it rocked me a little bit. You're the God of the hills and valleys. There's no depth he hasn't been to. And there's no height that he hasn't soared to. And there's no place that he is not the God he says he is. And there is no life that is beyond his reach. All that I'm asking you to do is be his hands and feet for one. And understand that I have no preconceived notion that we'll get them all. But hear me. If 200 people just have a batting average that's average, 300, actually that's a real good batting average. If we just bat 300, we'll have 260 in December. Is that good enough for anybody? Come on. How do we get our one? Serve your one, love your one, be there for your one, put a coat on your one. In as much as you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And God's already got it. There is no concern about America, about politics, about religion, about atheism, about agnosticism, about Wicca, about any of the belief systems out there. God is not surprised. He's not working on a plan. He's not setting up an international heaven FBI file to dismantle them. He is not concerned. All we're called to do is exactly what he called the first disciples to do. Not lead. What? Follow. Follow Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, and do that to somebody else. That's what we want you to do with your one. Serve them, love them, cook for them, pay for them, clean for them, help them. They'll ask why. You tell them, Jesus. That's the way I want to teach evangelism. But it means we got to get more and more into the Word to be prepared. It means we got to get more and more together so that we can pool our resources. It means we got to get more and more broken down so he can be lifted up. That's what we're working on 1 week at a time. Go ye therefore. I want to read these verses to you again. That's how I want to close. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord and be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have. Why? Because we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled unto him. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who does not need to be ashamed, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it has the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. And as my word goes out from my mouth, it will not return void, but will accomplish what I desire. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Let's pray. God, we're going to ask something that only you can do right now. I'm going to ask first that your Holy Spirit right now whispers into every ear in this room who will listen. Name or names of someone that they can love because you first loved. Therein is the key. God, whisper into Greg's ear. Whisper into Gage's ear. Whisper into Deb's ear. Whisper a name of someone they need to love as God first loved. And put no time frame on it, because God, you are not bound by time. Now give them the strength and the courage to love. bring them to their knees and anoint them, knight them, ordain them as your ambassadors to that individual. And God, drive them to the humility it takes to lift you up above all things and to their knees that they might pray for a life to be converted, changed, and overwhelmed by you. God, there are a million stories, but we're going to write our own. We're going to write our own miracles because we believe in the glory of God, and we will watch them happen because you ordain them and you carry them out. In Jesus' name, amen.